Planned Parenthood has killed millions of unborn babies, but one group may be turning the tide. Let's talk with Kathleen Eaton Bravo on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
Hey, we are so glad you're here. You always have a place at our table. Matthew Porter is here. Matthew, was this the first time you cut your own hair?
You like that?
Well, it's different.
Only since he was about three.
For men's hair, but listen, it is interesting.
It was a surprise to me, too.
Matthew Porter is our executive producer. Our producer, Jinx, is working hard in his little glass booth. And suddenly, Jinx is not the one with the wildest hair on this show.
Slow and steady.
But steady. You look like Jesus, so it works. That's fine. Smile a little bit more, and I feel a little bit better. Given that you look like Jesus when you do that. Our video director and one-man IT department, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. He's the one who solves problems we didn't know we had in ways we don't understand. And that is so true. And Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. I don't think you knew it, but George is an art collector. Mostly he collects Monet.
And portraits, of course, of presidents.
Yes. And portraits of presidents. And I'm Steve, the old white guy. And as I said before, I am so glad that you're here with us. And this is going to be a really interesting program, and you need to pay attention because this stuff is really important. Now, that's not because other things we do aren't important. They are. But this is really important. Our guest is Kathleen Eaton Bravo, and she's been one of the nation's leading pro-life healthcare advocates, bringing personal experience and expertise to this particular field. She has founded and launched several pro-life ministries, including Toby's House, a housing unit for pregnant women and their children. Kathleen, she speaks at churches and events all across the country, and now has launched a new clinic brand called Obria. It's the Obria Group, aimed at transforming healthcare with a compassionate and holistic mindset. Kathleen, it's so good to have you here, that you would take time from a very busy schedule to be with us. What got you into this? Are you crazy?
I'm Irish crazy, I think. I don't know. Maybe I went on a binge party or something one night and came out and thought, I got to do something. I don't know. But suddenly it's like, okay, something's got to change. But I'm also post-abortive. So I walked into a Planned Parenthood. I was running a kind of funny story. I was running construction crews, linemen and splicers for AT&T is the first woman they put out because of the government's EEOC, you know, back then. We won't say when, because, you know, it's just a while back there. And so they came in. I was running the business office at the corporate there in California and said, you know, would you go out and take a lineman and splicing crew? You got to learn how to climb a pole and, you know, just with those gaffs in your feet, you got to learn how to go down and splice cable. I looked at him and said, are you guys nuts? Anyway, I was a single mom then of a one-year-old. And so I said, well, wait a minute, how much are you going to pay me? And when I was, you know, in the office making at that time, the women's, you know, and they said, well, we're going to pay you what we pay those men out there. And I said, sold, when do I start? And so that sort of started my process into understanding that I basically could really do whatever I put my mind to. And I did that successfully and then left. As I was going up the corporate ladder, they thought I was crazy. And I left to start my own company. Actually, it's kind of strange, in the biomedical field, working with large medical device companies where, and it's kind of funny how God uses, you know, you think, what's it all about? Well, at AT&T, you'll learn their management classes are outstanding. And I went up to corporate in San Francisco and I learned really how to run a company and how to run people and reports. It was phenomenal. And then I went to work in the biomedical field, working with these big medical device developers. And what I learned there was I was to bring in. So, for example, a large company like Medtronic, which was my biggest accounts, would take over or buy out a smaller medical device. And then I would go in and bring it into the Medtronic brand. And so I learned how to brand, what the importance it is to brand. And so fast forward, I ended up taking over a pregnancy center at the same time. And I grew that one pregnancy center into five in Southern California. And then as I did in my for-profit side in my company, the first thing you do is you look at your competitor to see, you know, I looked at these large competitors, these marketing companies working with these big medical device companies. And I thought, well, you know, I can do that. I can do it better. And I can offer, you know, and so I did translation in 43 languages. I got my own translators in each country around the world. And I started doing design work and brought in a team. So fast forward, I outpaced them and outran them. And I got an office right inside the headquarters and basically said, give it to me and let me run it. And I can do this better than they can. And they did. So I learned how to rebrand companies into this medical model. And so I started looking at my pregnancy center that I was doing on the side. And I thought, you know what, we're not going to win this battle if we don't look at the opposite side, look at our competitor. And I looked at Planned Parenthood as a competitor. And I said, okay. And I called Chuck Donovan at Charlotte Lozier Institute, a good friend, and said, Chuck, I want to know everything about Planned Parenthood. I want to know how they tie their shoes. I want to know how they have created this model that's so powerful. It's a 100-year-old brand. And maybe we're 100 years behind them, but we got God on our side. And I think that although the pregnancy center movement is beautiful and lovely, that's not what Planned Parenthood was doing. They were bringing women in and killing their babies, and in a medical model. And so they also do, of course, STI testing and treatment and all that. Well, why? Because they get those girls on that slippery slope of drugs, you know, sort of drugs, plugs, jellies and jams. In other words, just, you know, give them all this stuff where they eventually end up in an unplanned pregnancy. They have a relation now with Planned Parenthood and they're going to go to Planned Parenthood for an abortion. So we had to create a medical brand that could attract women out of Planned Parenthood into our medical clinics so we could care for them when they're on that slippery slope, get them off that hooking up mentality, change their lives, and thereby decreasing the number of unplanned pregnancies. And if the girl was then found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and had a relationship with a national medical model, she wouldn't go to Planned Parenthood for care. She would go to where she has that relationship. It's a simple business model. It's a competitive model. And I said, and interesting enough, I'm going to end it with this. I was at Marjorie Dannenfelser had a big gala for the Susan B. Anthony list. And she asked me to speak. And she told everybody, she said, you know, you don't probably know this woman next to me, but why she's here is this. And she said, we can have a pro-life president. We can have a pro-life Congress. We can have a pro-life Supreme Court, and we can overturn Roe v. Wade. But if we don't have an alternative medical model that's going up against Planned Parenthood, if we don't have that boots on the ground model where we can send these women into, if we don't have that, she said, we will continue driving women into Planned Parenthood and getting an abortion. And she said, that's why Kathleen's here. It's hard. You know, you got to do brick and mortar. You got to go up against evil. You got to go up against really the pro-life movement itself that's very sort of fractured, and go in and say, we can do this together and unite it, but go full medical and to be that competitive model. And we did it, and it's just continued to grow. And that's basically it. It's not brain scientists. It's just understanding your competition and going up against them by creating a national brand of medical clinics. It's sort of business 101, I think.
Kathleen, I imagine that there are a lot of very powerful people. You know, they don't mind the little life centers that are on the corner that help two or three women. But when somebody like you comes along, you question the very foundations and then shake them. And in a lot of circles, you're considered very, very dangerous. We'll, on the other side of the break, I want us to go back and I want you to tell us about Obria Group, what you're doing and how people can contact you. You know, when I listen to you talk, I want to say, you go, girl. I don't know anybody's doing what you're doing and with the power and effectiveness that you're doing. And you say it's not brain surgery. Well, maybe not, but it takes a lot of effort and a lot of courage and a lot of work and a mean streak that is meaner than they are. And I love every bit of it. Guys, we got to pay for this, so we're going to take a break, take a nap, eat some cookies, have some milk, and then like Jesus, we're going to return. You make sure you do too.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have 4 mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These 4 mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, we're so glad you're here. And as I say often, you always have a seat at our table. Our guest, and she's been doing this since 1981, is one of my heroes. And that's because she's dangerous to a lot of people. And you need on occasion to pray for her because she's in the firing line all across the country. And we're going to get into Planned Parenthood. They're not what you think they are before we finish with this. But I need to do something that's even more important in my introduction to the people, my family, who participate on this program and whom I love deeply. I forgot to introduce Kathy. And, you know, that's a major faux pas. And I repent in sackcloth and ashes, if you'll forgive me. I will never, ever do it again. You know, I really don't care about all this, Kathleen, but she makes such good cakes and cookies. She will take them away from me if I ever do this again. So Kathy Wyatt is with us. Master Baker. Always together. And you don't want to mess with her either. She ought to join up with you, Kathleen. You all would change the world.
I'll take her.
Now you've gone off the deep end.
Have you?
Kathleen, I love what you're talking about with the Obria Group and the model. You know, a lot of times the perception of Planned Parenthood is it's a service. We're just serving women and taking care of their needs. When in reality, it's a well-oiled machine. It is a business. It is a thriving industry. And I love that you're taking that kind of tough-mindedness to this pro-life solution to it, which is amazing. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the results that you guys are seeing, maybe some specific stories, or just flesh out a little bit about the impact that you guys are having.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, we started with the 5 pregnancy centers, like I shared in California, in Orange County, actually in LA County, went medical, and then created a telemedicine app, which is where millennials are today. I mean, I'm going to hold up my phone here, and it's sort of, you know, going back to the basics, but this is the abortion clinic of today. This is it. Girls aren't going into brick and mortar. They're getting the abortion pill online. So I'm sort of fast forwarding, but in the past, it was looking at brick and mortar, you know, looking at where's Planned Parenthood, and you know where they're at. They're in the large cities. They're in the poor communities down in the areas that's minority driven. And you could pick them, you know, what cities they're in. And we all know that. So, but when you look at the pregnancy centers at the time, God bless them, we were sort of in suburbia. We were in the outskirts. So Planned Parenthood was controlling the nucleus, the center of, you know, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, Detroit, Seattle. They were down in the inner cities, and we were in out in the nice communities handing out, you know, basically diapers and formula and running a pregnancy test and doing an ultrasound. Well, today they don't need an ultrasound. They don't need a pregnancy test. I mean, they can take that at home. And they've been able to do that for a long time. And bottom line is today is we've moved from that woman having to go into a brick and mortar to have an abortion to basically aborting a baby in her home and accessing the abortion pill right here. So today, the abortion industry and the abortion sort of what we knew as the brick and mortar is now on a phone. And we watched as the abortion pill abortions continue to rise. And for example, in Europe, 98% of first trimester abortions are done by the pill. They've had the pill, the abortion pill longer than we've had it. It came to the United States. When it did, I was very vocal about what's going to happen, that we were going to go from 50% of the abortions on the pill, and we'll go quickly to the 70, 80, 90%. I had estimated 3 to 4 years, and it took 2 years, at, you know, maybe probably less than that.
How did you fight that?
Yes, to move into the abortion pill. So we're sort of the pro-life movement. If you think of the reality of the abortion pill, and the girl doesn't even have to go into Planned Parenthood, and she doesn't need an ultrasound, and she goes online. By the way, 86 illegal sites, according to Charlotte Lozier Institute, 86 illegal sites are dispensing the pill in this country. And the government can't do anything about it illegally in this country. 86 sites. And you add to that all of the Planned Parenthoods around the country and even private practitioners that are getting in the game of selling the pill online as an MD. This is a war, and it's shifted over to you've got to be here. We put all of our money that we get. We put almost everything into digital marketing. Because this is where the girls are. This is where the abortion pill is. This is where Planned Parenthood is. And if we're not there, and Planned Parenthood has 3 apps, Planned Parenthood Direct, we have Obria Direct, counter that. That's the abortion pill site. And that's our abortion pill reversal site, goes nose to nose. The second one is Planned Parenthood Care. Planned Parenthood Care is the one that sends out their STI tests in the mail, in a box. The girl takes the test, sends it back. They call her and diagnose her and send her to a pharmacy or basically into a Planned Parenthood to get their treatment. And then they've got them. And so we are pushing to raise the money to create Obria Care. The other one they have is now, understand this, the percentages continue to grow at 40% of millennial women decided to go off hormonal contraception and use fertility apps. They didn't want to pollute their bodies because now looking on their phone, they see that it's a carcinogen and they don't want to put it in their body. So what did Planned Parenthood do? They realized, sure enough, that year I looked, I believe it was 2018, 40% of millennials, according to the CDC, went off the pill. I went on to Planned Parenthood's year-end report. Guess how much their contraceptive income dropped 40% from the year below.
Man.
The year before. They did not waste time. They created their own fertility app, and it's called Spot On, and they pushed it out there because they do not want to lose those women. We don't know how effective their fertility app is compared to Fem or some of the other ones out there that are really good. But again, they're keeping that girl out in their hole. They didn't want to lose them. So they created their own app so they would continue. And there's a percentage of them are going to continue ending up in an unplanned pregnancy. And they want to make sure that they still had them as patients. So they're very savvy and smart. And so are we. So we, we've got our first app and we're going to create our second app and reach out those women looking for STI tests and then treatment coming into our clinics. So that's our next step. So where they go, I try to follow. They're very transparent. You can download their yearly, their year-end report, and their abortion numbers are skyrocketing.
Well, we'll get, listen, we've got to back off just a little bit and pay for this thing.
Yeah.
And we want to get on the other side of the break. I've got a bunch of questions, and Kathy wants to talk to you about some of the history of this. Guys, I wish we had 4 or 5 hours, because this is deep and scary and sad. And somebody like Kathleen is making a major difference. Don't you dare go away. We're coming back, and we hope you will too.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
You're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and we're so glad you're here. We're talking with Kathleen Eaton Bravo. She's a businesswoman, a speaker, and she's doing some very, very important work in the pro-life movement. In fact, because of her, things are going to change, and you're going to be surprised. Kathy?
Kathleen, during the break, or Matthew alluded to a little bit to Planned Parenthood in the first section, and then Steve brought up something during the break, and could you tell us, and I include myself in this, can you tell us a little bit about the beginning of Planned Parenthood and how things have progressed? That's not a great word, obviously, but to the point where they are now. And I think you had a statement on the website, I think, or perhaps you said this in the break too, about how people, they don't allow people to leave through the front door. No. And so can you talk a little about that? Because I don't think the average person, I think most people know that Planned Parenthood helps, fund abortions, and I'm not minimizing that, but they have their tentacles everywhere.
They do. As we all know, it was founded by Margaret Sanger, and it was founded. She believed in eugenics. She basically wanted to eliminate the poor, the blacks, the minorities. She wanted to have what we talk about today is really a white supremacist country. She was also a drinker and drugs, and she partied, and she was quite the at the time, people were drawn to her because she, I think she, you know, this lifestyle of hers was sort of addictive. And but in it all, she really launched the most evil to me against society, against life, against the Black community today. I mean, they worship Planned Parenthood, but don't even realize that when it was founded, it was to actually eliminate everybody that wasn't white. And this sort of the supremacy of, you know, we own the world. And although Planned Parenthood quietly comes up with their own sort of brand statement, they're continuing to do that. They're continuing. How are they continuing? If you look at where the Planned Parenthoods are, they're in the inner cities. They're where the minorities are living, and they're just drawing them in with this false lies about, you know, you don't need to have all these children and we'll help you and take care of you. I mean, they basically are still living today what Margaret Sanger did to found Planned Parenthood, and it's just evil. I think though what happened, Kathy, is over so many years, Planned Parenthood just became a part of our society, like accepted into this culture of they do wonderful things and they're there for women and to enable women not to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, as they used to say, but to go out and you know, be business owners and women of influence. And sadly, women did do that. I'm a good example of that. I raised three sons while running this ministry and running my own for-profit company at the same time. But it doesn't mean that we have to sell our souls to the devil and embrace this sort of death, a business that has gone, you know, all around the world. And so it's just exposing the truth of what Planned Parenthood really is. And sadly, their marketing and their model has just been embraced by the media and Hollywood and also in Washington, D.C. for years to come. I mean, we've had pro-life presidents in the past. We got a grant under George W. Bush to grow our model. We've got a huge grant, a couple grants from President Trump. Sadly, when he went out, President Trump said this. He said he opened up Title 10 by creating the Protect Life Rule. The Protect Life Rule under Title 10 guaranteed our conscious and our religious rights, and basically said that if a person or an organization or a woman, because of her religious faith and her conscience clause, could get Title 10 money under the Protect Life Rule. Of course, the Protect Life Rule was brought down immediately when Biden and Kamala Harris took over. In fact, they had a big, huge brouhaha of it. I watched it. A new effective that date, I would not take another dime of Title 10 money we do get Title 5, but Title 10 money. And so I went through this whole experience, and we prepared ourselves. We never made sure that grant that was needed to keep our doors open. We didn't use it for that. I'm smart enough to understand that you don't ever want it to be the core base or support of your operations. It's basically, we used it on the side to do marketing, digital marketing, that type of thing. And so we were prepared to lose it and held our heads high that, sadly though, President Trump said, I'm opening this up. And he said, I'm opening it up also to the Catholic Church to take some of this funding to grow their strength, you know, in the movement.
Got to interrupt you. Put your finger in the middle of that sentence and you can finish it on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Guys, this is good stuff, important stuff. And for some of you, it's quite new. We'll keep talking about it on the other side of the break.
He
he was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, we're so glad you're with us. We're talking with a hero of mine, Kathleen Eaton Bravo, who's dangerous to a lot of people because she doesn't just talk. She does stuff, and it's shaking the whole Planned Parenthood et al. Organizations all over the country, and I'm glad for this woman. You were talking about Planned Parenthood, and I interrupted you, and you told us that it was founded in racism by a racist woman who wanted to eliminate blacks. Nobody ever tells you that. Mm-hmm. You would think that would be at the forefront, and we would stop spending tax dollars for that kind of racist organization. They're hustling money. They're making millions. But you were telling us some other things about Planned Parenthood. Continue with that, Kathleen.
Well, you know, we go back to the beginning of when I started 40 years ago and knew that Planned Parenthood was basically my enemy at many, many levels. And during that time, of course, I think one of the most, for me, looking at something that we did that I'm so thankful for and that we were able to be involved in is when David DeLeiden contacted me and said he was doing videos. He went underground and was doing videos on the fact that Planned Parenthood was secretly selling baby parts. So they would get the aborted babies and then they would go in. And from my understanding, what turned me into saying I'm going to help is that that the brain matter, when they would get the brain, they got so much money for that for research, but the brain had to be living. And so when they took the brain, the babies were actually still alive. Oh, when that came to me, and even now it gives me the chills. And David called and said, "I'm going to take them on and expose them, but I need a clinic where I can go in and have clinical staff where I can show a petri dish of an aborted baby ripped apart in the womb. Would you join me?" And I have to say, it was that no way. I said, you know, I got to protect my ministry. David, if I do this and go into this fight with you, I don't know if we could survive. And then I prayed about it and I called him back and I said, "Look, Obria doesn't have to be mentioned. I don't have to be on there, but definitely come into our clinics. We will film in the clinics," because they wanted it to show a professional clinic. And I said, "And if my staff wants to be a part of it, any of us will be there to support you." And it ended up that we did. We were very proud of the fact that whenever they showed that medical clinic side in his videos, that was Obria. And then I got to the point where I was letting everybody know that was Obria and that we really supported what David had went through. And he was, you know, definitely that young man put his body, soul, his life on the line when he exposed the selling of baby parts and that Planned Parenthood was doing and making millions and millions of dollars. So not only aborting the baby, but then taking that baby and sometimes keeping them alive so they can get the fresher organs, and especially the brain. We were all shocked. In fact, I really, really felt that those videos would be the shift that would actually bring down Planned Parenthood. Sadly, It did not. It was a moment of time. And like everything else, it moved on. We moved on. And I remember when Fox News came into Obria and they did a whole session on David Delight and came in and said, there is an alternative to Planned Parenthood. And Brandon Shannon Breen walked into an Obria and talked about what we did. And I thought, boy, this is going to be great. So because what I wanted to show Planned Parenthood and what she did is to let them know that there's some group out there that's going after this country, clinic after clinic, opening them up wherever they were, we're going to come after them. And we're still doing that and living it up to it. And I think that documentary that they did on Fox started that movement for me to realize we cannot stop. Where there's a Planned Parenthood, we must have a pro-life clinic there.
George?
Kathleen, it does seem like, in this part of the discussion, it does seem like the kind of the narrative, unfortunately, has shifted. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago that it seemed like the conversation or the argument, if you will, was, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, and abortion or not abortion kind of thing. And now it's almost shifted to the point of, you know, utilizing the baby parts for medical research or not, and late term abortion or not. I mean, are we making progress? Is it you're on the front line of the battle of the war? Do you have hope there? And what do you see as the key steps? I mean, you've talked about going head to head with Planned Parenthood in terms of locating sites, medical clinics, but what else can be done with that? I mean, with this narrative and the media's support of it.
It's again, sort of this twofold, the pandemic, I think we were making inroads. And then last year, everything was sort of shut down. I mean, we'd never shut down our clinic ever. We continued to see women. Our corporate offices remained open. I asked the staff, you don't have to come, you don't have to work because of the pandemic, you can go home. And everybody came. The clinic never lost a beat. All of our clinics, just not my flagship clinic in Santa Ana, California, but across the country, nobody closed. We stayed open because Planned Parenthood was open. On the other side, sometimes I felt great hope with Trump. I absolutely believe with all my heart we'd have 8 years, and in 8 years I felt like we could really have planted deeply some roots that would continue to, you know, dig in. And we only had 4 years, but I think in that 4 years, in Obrey, at least speaking for us, we continued to grow. We are continuing to grow. We just hired a research company and spent, you know, money we probably didn't have, but I asked them, they'd done some research on something else. I called them and said, I want the deepest down to the root of understanding Planned Parenthood. I can't go, I need to move to the next step. I want to know how everything's operating. And so I want you to dig deep in your research. They just presented me with the report. I have not read it yet, so I'd be happy to come back and talk to you after I read it. And to really understanding where they are, where they were, where they are, and where are they going? Because they're very open about where they're going. And we have to look at that. And then I'm going to scream from the rooftops to tell everybody, look, we have their blueprint. And so we need to go and use that to grow and continue to grow. We need medical clinics out there. We need the full medical services. I love pregnancy centers, and I look at it as like, I can send the patients back to get the resources and the education, but I need that front not aligned medical clinic that goes nose to nose. And that's what we need around the country.
Kathleen, we'll come back, and we're almost at the end of this. And I don't know where it went, but we'll come back and say goodbye and give you the final word.
Great.
But it's not by a long shot the final word. You guys don't go away. We're going to back up, do some commercials, and then we're going to return.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
I don't know where this hour has gone. It's just been an absolutely informative and stirring hour. Kathleen, before I let you go, tell us how people can find out about you, about the ministry. Where do they go?
It's very simple. Just go to Obria, O-B-R-I-A, Obria.org, or you can email me at Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, at Obria.org. So go to Obria.org to find our website. There's Obria.org or Obriagroup.org, either one. And then I'm Kathleen at Obria.org. And I'd love to hear from anybody and answer your questions from either
Kathleen,
side.
It's been so good. We rise up and call you blessed. And I hope this is not going to be a one-time visit. We expect you to, you know, every time you come on this program, you get three free sins. You know, and you know, you're behind. So you, Kathleen, you're great. Thank you for being with us.
God bless you guys.
God
loved
bless
it.
You
I
too.
Want to bring me back. Love it.
We will.
Thank you.
I look forward to it.
And Kathy, and by the way, be sure and go to that website, because this is a war. And, you know, we'd rather have a milkshake. This is something we can't fiddle with. It's very, very important. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
You should be really happy with me next week.
I'm always happy with
no,
you.
No, you're not, because you forget me all the time. But
he
next
may
week.
Even introduce you next
but,
week.
But next
all.
Week.
Just one time, okay?
But next week, Religious Liberty in Crisis by Ken Starr. Yes, that Ken Starr.
Oh, man.
Exercising your faith in an age of uncertainty. Isn't that the truth?
That's going to be an interesting. That Ken Starr, by the way, was during the trying to get rid of Clinton. He was the prosecutor.
Yep.
Boy, you talk about taking hits. I mean, they said he was
really
ugly and his mother dressed him funny. And every story they could think about to destroy him, they did. But he's still around, so it's going to be an interesting guest, and you don't want to miss it. And if you come back next week, same time, same place, I will introduce Kathy first, and we'll never, ever forget again. Guys, put a fork in us. We're through. We are out of here, and we're going to come back same time, same place next week. Hope you'll join us. And between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.